Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Good afternoon, friends. It's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. We have a very fascinating program for our listeners, me and my good friend
Dave Colonen.
Dave Colonen.
I'm here again.
Yes, you are. Good to see you, my friend. Hey, we have a fascinating subject. How about money?
Money?
Yeah. I mean, you think people like to talk about money?
Everybody likes to talk about money.
I've never heard
anyone
reject it.
All day.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Jesus talked a lot about money. And money is a very real part of our lives. Money is a reward. Money is what you receive when you help somebody else achieve their goals. Payday is simply a reward day. I always call it exchange day. You give it to me, now I give it to somebody else. Well, that's what it is. It is a reward day. You are rewarded for spending your best hours each day, your energy and your knowledge in helping your boss. He or she paid for you, enabling him to reach his goal. Money is very important. You cannot live in your home without it. You cannot provide for your family without it. Your automobile costs money. Your clothing costs money. And let's face it, most marriage counselors observe that the number one cause for divorce is financial conflict. Isn't that a shame? Jesus recognized the importance of money. Some think Jesus was a wandering nomad who wore a dirty white robe and sandals and who lived off of scraps of food in the villages he visited. Actually, it's to the contrary. He had 12 men who handled his business. One was the treasurer. Look that up in John chapter 13, verse 29. Someone has said that Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven. In fact, 20% of his teaching and conversation was about talents or money and finance. Jesus did not want you to worry about finance. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thoughts for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for what your body shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than remnant? Behold the fowl in the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more than they? That's a reading right out of the scriptures of Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and 26. You see, Jesus knew that God loved to give people good things. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. And it cometh down from the Father. That's written that way in James chapter 1, verse 17. Money is a fact of life. It is necessary. You need it. Money is on God's mind. It is taught about this in the Word of God. God loves to see his people prosper. Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalms chapter 35, verse 27. You see, God wants to reveal ways for you to profit, for you to succeed and have financial success. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. Isaiah chapter 48, 17. Jesus shows people how to get ahead financially through his parable, using your gifts and talents. Look it up. Matthew 25, verses, read that, 14 through 23. You see, your future starts with whatever you have in your hand today. Nothing is too little to multiply. Everything is reproductive. Everyone has received something from God capable of reproducing. Jesus showed people that God was their true source of everything. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says that. Jesus taught that giving was one of the ways to get ahead. Give, and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom, for all that measure, that same measure, that ye met with at all, shall be measured unto you again. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says it that way. Jesus taught the law of expectation that could unlock a hundredfold return. That's in the scriptures. But he shall receive a hundredfold now in his time, his houses, his brethren, his sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the world to come eternal life. It's written that way in Mark chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus taught that you could give away out of your troubles. You could give away. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says that. Jesus taught fishermen where to drop their nets to catch fish. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Look it up. Notice these incredible secrets. Jesus visited people where they worked. Jesus was interested in their work, that he instructed them as to the right time to drop their fishing nets and to catch fish. The disciples had enough confidence in Jesus' knowledge, that they went ahead and dropped their nets again in total obedience. They caught more fish than they had ever caught, so much that their nets broke. Their success was so remarkable, they had to have partners to help them pull in the fish. When the disciples saw the incredible knowledge and concern the results of the following Jesus' instructions, they realized how sinful they were and how limited they were. They brought their ships to the land and decided to totally follow Jesus and his teachings. That's recorded that way in Luke 5, verse 11. Jesus took the time to show his disciples where to get their money to pay their taxes. Go down to the sea and cast out a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give it unto them for me and thee. Remember reading that? Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. I think that's a fascinating verse, right out of the Bible. These are the facts. Jesus showed people where money could be found. He motivated them to try again and consider options and changes. He focused their minds on the true source of the Heavenly Father. He encouraged them to make spiritual matters a priority. Then he encouraged them to look at their giving as a seed. I remember you mentioning that a few weeks ago, Dave. Linked on the hundredfold harvest, he encouraged them to expect a harvest from everything they sowed into the field and into God's work. If there is one thing more exciting than making money, it's helping others discover financial freedoms too. You see, Jesus did. David, I think all those words, and I was reading a lot of scripture there, but all those words are right down your alley. Those are some of those that you have, I think you've even shared them in the past yourself. I remember you talking about seed money, and I remember you talking about your giving is recognized tenfold and a hundredfold at times. Do you have any other pearls of wisdom you'd like to share with our listeners today and maybe merge those thoughts?
Well, I'm amazed every day how God gives back what you give to him. I've always tried to be a giver. I always overdid it. In fact, Judy and I are ahead by thousands of dollars already from last year that we gave extra over what you're supposed to give as 10%. We far preceded that. And the amazing part about it, it makes a believer out of you.
It sure does.
Last year, and I think you probably know some of this, that I received a check from Barbados, Judy and I, for the whole year, every month. Come December, we said to ourselves, surely, coming from Barbados, that is the last check we'll ever get. And we went into January, went week one, week two, week three, and in week four, here comes another check.
From Barbados.
From Barbados.
For work you did 32 years ago.
That's right. That's right. And so I took the check and I said to Judy, Judy came running into the house from the mailbox. She was a scream. She said, can you believe it that the Lord is going to probably do this up for another year? Look at it. Boy, why are we so not confident in what God is doing? And so this last, three or four days ago, we got that check.
You got another check.
It started us into a new year. Oh, we said, come on, Lord. If that's what you're going to do, you know, the money that you give, it just comes all back to you.
Yes.
My sister called me about 2 weeks ago, and she said to me, Dave, my husband and I, Dwight and I have the worst Christmas we ever had. We don't have any money. We owe everybody. We didn't have any money to even buy gas to go to church. Car was on empty.
Oh, my.
And she said then the water tank, it had kind of sprung a leak. Maybe I told you that at all.
No.
The water, and she said, I went down to see if we could get a water softener. $750 was the lowest thing that I could find. And she's crying. You know when your sister cries.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Oh, it tore my heart out.
Sure.
So I got off the phone. I said, Judy, we got to buy a hot water heater for my sister. And Judy looked at me saying, how do you expect to do that?
Yeah.
And I said, the Lord will always make it up to us.
Yeah.
And when we sent the $1,000 check, mm-hmm. here comes the check from Barbados.
Oh, Barbados, and a week later.
I said, I don't think God was planning on that, but because we did.
Yeah.
He said, we better start up again this year. I mean, that's a story it's a phenomenon.
Yes.
People think, Dave, you're crazy. You always talk about what you're doing and what you're doing. Well, you know, I'm trying to teach you how to do what will bring you success.
That's
if I can do that, why can't you?
That's
why
right.
can't you say, Lord, I need this. I'm following you explicitly. I live every day for you. I follow your pathway. I watch people go by me. You know how that all started?
How's that?
We went to church one day, and the evangelist left the platform in the middle of his preaching, and he walked down the aisles.
Oh, my.
And that's not, it's kind of unusual. You go to church, and the preacher leaving the platform and coming down, and he came up the aisle, and he came right by Judy and I. I'm sitting on the end, and he stopped, and he said, Dave and Judy, would you stand? I got something to say to you, and I want to pray for you.
All right.
Well, Dave Clone and Judy, they're going to stand up and the crowded church full of people and the evangelist is saying, I just want to tell you that God is going to bless you bigger than you ever dreamed. And I'm listening. You know, I've had a lot of people talk to me about how the Lord's going to do this and that and did this. And I'm taking it with a grain of salt.
Sure.
And he finally said, you are going to be amazed. God's going to put money in your pocket you never dreamed of. And I kind of snickered in my heart,
Right.
And then he said to the people, I want you to be the first to give to Dave and Judy. He said, the next week, when you see Dave and Judy, you take that money out of your pocket and you put it in their hand, don't tell anybody, and just walk away saying, that's what God told me to do.
Yeah.
In church, in the middle of a sermon.
Wow.
I'm looking at Judy, and she's looking at me, and she said, what in the world is happening?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of the service, people came by me, and when we got home and pulled out all the money from our pockets, we had like $7,000 that morning.
Is that right?
Right.
Isn't that incredible?
And week after week, we had people coming until it was amazing to go to church.
Isn't that a phenomenal story?
And so when you get it, you got to give it.
That's right.
And when somebody came by and said, "Hey, can you do this? And could you? I'm really struggling here." You got to reach in your pocket and say, "Lord, Yep. I give this in Jesus' name, and I know you'll give it back to me.
That's right. What's one of your old expressions you've taught me many years ago is you can't outgive the Lord.
I'm proof to you today.
Yes, you did.
I'm starting to get more checks out of Barbados this year. I'm proving to you that God does not forget what
exactly
he gives his evangelists to tell. Yeah. Nobody has ever told me that. I kind of laughed it off. Judy and I did. We said, well, that was a nice gesture, but wasn't he way out of line?
Who's going to give me a lot of money?
Wasn't he off track?
Yes.
But you want to know about money. When you said, Dave, we're going to talk about money, I said, oh, I can talk about
it. I know.
There was a day when I didn't have two pennies to rub against each other.
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know something, David? Do you ever notice it seems like those people who have severe money problems are those people who spend their whole life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. All they want to do is receive, 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 receive. They forget that if you want to live a godly Christian life, that you have to give. It's not a one-way street.
So how did we get onto money today?
Well, it's just an interesting subject. I know you find these little tidbits of wisdom, and you find some scripture to back it up. You say, hey, wait a minute, that's going to be a good subject. That's how it starts. Those things kind of fascinate me, because money's a very real thing. But you have to be able to adjust to it. You know, Jesus was willing to go where he had to go, to get money, to do his work and do things like that. Geography made a big difference to Jesus. Pineapples, they do well in Hawaii, don't they? But they don't do very well in Alaska. Atmosphere matters, and that's what Jesus is trying to say in making a living doing your work. All of these things matter. The climate is important for any seed to grow. If you want your seed to grow, you have to plant it in good soil, in the right atmosphere. You, too, are a seed. Your business and your product are other seeds. It is true that you may need to change locations and situations to unlock your full potential for your success. Okay, I'll go along with that. But success requires people. You will never succeed without networking with different kinds of people. They will not be accessible. You may have to leave the comfort of your home to reach them, to achieve any extraordinary success. Recently, I was amazed by what I saw in the life of Jesus. He was constantly in movement, constantly changing his location. Remember all the scriptures where he was come down out of the mountains? Matthew, I think it's the end of chapter verse 1, end of the Sermon on the Mount. You know, so he's coming down the mountain. And then he entered into Capernaum. That's also Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. All these are out of Matthew chapter 8. He went to come into Peter's house, verse 14. He was entered into a ship, verse 23. And when he went into the country of Gergesene, that was in verse 28. So Jesus is moving and grooving to obtain this success, to obtain the dollars, to have financial credence. You may have to be moving about. Jesus did. Jesus was constantly arising, departing, and going to new places. He sought to be around new people. He discussed his teaching with many types of people of all kinds of backgrounds. Some people will not come to where you are. You're going to have to go to their home, or their town, or their environment. Once Jesus told his disciples to go to the upper room, they were to tarry there until they received this marvelous experience of the Holy Spirit. He told them 500. Out of these 500, 80 disobeyed him. Remember reading that? Even after they had observed his resurrection and his miracle of life, only 120 out of the 500 actually followed his instruction. But those who were willing to go into a different place, the upper room, they received the marvelous outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Abraham, you know, the patriarch of the Israelites, had to make geographical changes before his success was birthed. Remember reading that in Genesis chapter 12? Joseph found his incredible success in another country. It was Egypt. Ruth, remember Ruth, willingly left her heavenly family in Moab and went to Bethlehem with Naomi, where she met Boaz, a financial giant of the community, and she married him. It is normal to move towards those who are easily accessible. But sometimes you have to go other places. You have to go somewhere where you've never been before you taste the extraordinary success that you want to experience. Jesus did that, and you will too. You have to move around, Dave, to make a good living years ago. I guess there's nobody that I know that moved around more than you did.
And we didn't make a lot of money. We weren't making a lot of money.
No.
For a lot of my life
with
music, it was not a financial big deal, you know. Uh-huh. And the way it's the way it is today. I just found out that a lot of preachers in America don't make enough money to have a savings account, don't make enough money to do the extra things in life. $35,000 is a great salary for a preacher today in our day.
Is that right?
That's not very much money.
No, it's not.
That's like pauper money, and we have not taken care of our pastors. We have not given them sufficient funds to accomplish their purpose in life with their family and their children. And they depend on we who are the parishioners to give. And when the plate comes by, you can't afford to just let it go by, put in a dollar and let it go.
Uh-huh.
And think that you are fine. Some of you are listening to us today and you're saying, boy, if you had my little money, you wouldn't be talking like you're talking.
Yeah.
And there's a way to prove God. And I would say to you that are without money today, find God. Love him. Let him love you. And when you become friends and you become forgiven of the things you've done wrong, then you can ask him about finances. How about an extra $100 this week to come from somewhere, Lord? And you give of yourself, you can sit back and watch. And God will send you beyond your wildest imagination what you've asked for. But if you just go live like you please, you go out in crowds and you drink and you never go to church and you want to give $100, you're not going to get it back.
That's
not
right.
From God.
That's right. That's right.
You got to give it because you love him, because he loves you and you become a friend and you're grateful for his faithfulness to remove the sin from your life. And then you begin to say, Lord, you know, I love you so much. Look at this. Look at this, what I need. I need this. How could you help me find it?
Yeah.
And sit back and watch the Lord bring it to you.
Well, I think of a whole lot of examples of your words, Dave. You're absolutely right. Remember here, was it about 3 years ago when our checkbook balance was so embarrassingly low, we had no money at all, and you took this entire radio station, all the board members and all the staff, into a church area, and we did nothing but pray for our finances. Remember doing that?
That's right. Yes.
And that worked. The Lord blessed us for that program. I couldn't believe the impact that program had that you dedicated just for us. It's amazing. I remember a story about a gentleman from First Church in Mechanicsburg. He was so committed to putting on an addition to his church. He was ready to retire, but he decided that if he retired, he wouldn't be able to give as much money. So he and his wife had a conversation, and he elected to work one more year so that he could give 90% of his pay to the church to put on that addition.
Wow.
He kept 10% and gave 90, the reverse of what we're supposed to do.
That man's rich today.
That man is very
I'll
happy.
Tell you, how much time you got? Where's the time?
Well, we're exhausted. Time is gone.
Are we done? What?
Yeah,
1 minute?
Yeah, you're going to have to say goodbye.
I got to say a 30-second prayer.
Go ahead.
Lord Jesus, for those who are listening today who are struggling and need a miracle, oh God, I pray that you will right now give them the faith to call upon you, live for you, and then realize that you are willing to give us beyond. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for our friends right now in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Thank you, Gift Brenner, saying bye-bye for now.
We got to go. See you next time. Bye-bye.